Hello there, my name is Heath Fisher, and I'm recording my education class final. So this assignment I thought was quite unique and wanted us to make a list of all the good things about our school slash neighborhood that most people wouldn't know unless they experienced it, and talk about how it relates to issues of social justice. Second is the flip side of that, talk about the bad things and how it relates. And then I just kind of wanted to go into the background of my experience with not so much as like racial prejudice, as I wouldn't say I've had it that extreme, but cases of stereotyping in education or socially, things like that, that I feel is a sort of unique experience, only emerging basically with my generation. So to start off with, for school, I went to a real small school. I was in a class of something like 50 students or something that graduated rather small. But there's some ups and downs to that. The school was a very small-knit community. That's an up and a down, because everyone knows everyone. So, like, when something would happen with someone, everyone was the first to know. So that's either whether it's something you don't want people know, or maybe it's something bad and people can be there to support you rather quickly. It kind of pertains to the context. Being a small school, of course, it had small classes, which I loved a lot because it allowed a very personal connection and sort of relationship with your teachers. You got to talk to them. You weren't just a number. They noticed if you weren't there. You got a lot of help individually, stuff like that, similar to the education class. The education class, I think, has something like 20 people in it, so the professor gets on me if I'm not in class and there's a good rapport. It was pretty decently diverse culturally, not just by race, but by people's backgrounds and what they're into and stuff like that. It was kind of it's an alternative school, I guess, so it attracted alternative people, would be, I guess a simplification of it. It really exposed me to a lot of things and ultimately had a big role in me being who I am today and how I choose to represent myself in the way I dress and act and the things I'm into. So it was quite a unique experience. My neighborhood, again, a real unique experience. I live on a cul-de-sac. It's a sort of a T street. One of the T, heads of the T, capital T, goes into a dead end, which is the wall to a graveyard. So basically, my backyard wall, if I hopped it, I'd be in the graveyard. I live right off of a graveyard. Real small neighborhood, very, very ethnic, majority black and Latin. I think I'm one of two Caucasian families that have been there consistently in a row of like, a grouping of 20 houses, something like that. That's at least all I can think of right now. Neighborhood was quiet off to the side. I enjoyed the scenery. You can't really hear traffic. Our house was quite unique amongst the neighbors. My father has a rather artistic eye with that. We had, I grew up with fountains and a courtyard and a real nice contrast to, the super early stages of my life where our housing was not at all very nice. So now to the flip side, it wants me to make a list of the bad things about my school or neighborhood, and well, the bad thing was also the good thing. It was just so small. There's no sports teams. I had no AP class opportunities. I had little college support. It's smaller budget, so it doesn't have sort of the fancy things that real large schools or the school right by Cal State Fullerton, Troy High School. I never had that experience, and I don't know if that's something I necessarily lose sleep over. I did enjoy that it was smaller because it really allowed me to explore who I was outside of school. My senior year, I was able to, I took some of my senior classes junior year. So senior year, I was working close to 40 hours as a dishwasher and then eventually a chef. And I was training enough to be a competitive athlete. So not too much to go into with, the small school other than, kind of the poor neighborhood around, but it didn't really bother me. I've kind of grown up that way. And I really don't like snobby rich people, to be honest. Now with the neighborhood, there's a decent amount of drug use, especially with the way our house is designed. There's a bunch of bushes out front. So usually people will like to choose that place to park their car and smoke weed, roll blunts, stuff like that. A few times, like once or twice over the 12 years we've lived there, we found a meth pipe. And one time someone hid in our bushes and was like watching us. And so every once in a while you get a crazy. It can be pretty loud noises. We've had problems of, people staying out late, partying, being loud out on the street, stuff like that. Excuse me. And then there, much less now, but when my parents were growing up, the contrast of the neighborhood was basically you don't walk down this neighborhood. They sold drugs out in daylight. We had an old neighbor who's sadly deceased now. She went by Miss Sugar. And she had been there at that house, I think, something 40 years. And so she would talk about how much it's changed. And mostly it's changed for the better, though. Every once in a while, we still do have problems. So if you walk up my street, make a left, and then once you hit Fair Oaks, which is the major street, it's ultimately for my house, it's like, I don't know, 400 yards, so maybe a quarter mile, if even that, probably shorter. Is this real good burger Chinese and Mexican shack called Fair Oaks Burger? But I remember growing up that one time I saw the aftermath of basically an execution. They sadly it was the wrong guy, but it was a gang feud, and man was eating his lunch, had his back turned to the street. They thought it was someone else. They walked right up behind him and shot him in the back of the head. That was unbeknownst to him, the last thing he'd be eating. And I do think about that a lot. I was talking about that the other day. I want to talk about, I'm from, if you look at me, I'm pretty white. I always joke that I tan and don't get red, but I feel like there's a lack of sort of, I don't mean this as an insult to those that this applies to, but sort of an ignorance in really what race can play as a role. I don't think that I've had an easier life amongst these subjects because of my skin color. And in a lot of ways, socially, I've been sort of ostracized because of my skin color, told not to listen to certain types of music. Not to dress a certain type of way. I remember going to a religious school and I had long hair at the time, and the teachers discriminated against me thinking I used drugs, which I find incredibly ironic. It's a complicated thing, and really what needs to be taken into account is social economic status. I think that's ultimately where I can relate because I grew up with. In the beginning, sort of poor Latin and African descent kids, and now I'm very blessed to be going to university and having affluent parents now. But that wasn't my makeup at first, and I've been told many times that, because of my skin color, I must act a certain way, and I'm not the only person to have experienced this. But in today, there's a very strong argument that I'm the only person where it's socially okay to be told this, or socially expected right? The idea of white privilege that I, because of history and my white heritage, I've sort of stood on the shoulders of giants who've of oppressors, you know what I mean? Like I've gotten all these benefits because people were put down. Well, it's for one, it's not true because my main ethnicity is Italian, which if you know anything about American history, the Italians were treated horrible, just like the Irish and the Chinese and the African Americans and the Germans and basically anyone who wasn't rich. English Anglo-Saxon, the America's largest lynching was done all on Italian Americans. It's a complicated subject, but there's that what would you call that expectation, right? That just my life has to be better because I'm white, and then because of that, I need to. There's been like this pressure that I've felt in the education system and from people my age socially. Having people tell you that you're privileged, thus you can't speak upon a subject that really strikes home. Like I've been told I can't talk about, I couldn't give my, this was either in a debate or a philosophy class. I sadly can't remember. I was told that my opinion was not of value when it comes to the subject of rape, because of my inherent privilege, not knowing that, I'm the son of a rape victim. It was just a preponderance based off of my skin color, and I feel like it's expected. Or, it's just the social norm, especially in the young generations, because there seems to be a major pendulum effect away from the oppression of minorities. But with that, there needs to be a proper education and make sure that there's no reason to discriminate against the majority culture or the people that you think, oppress them in the past. So it's, I think, really, I don't necessarily know what the solution would be, which is frustrating, especially because of how passionate I feel upon the subject. I think it has to be done the same way that it's caused, right? Which is media influence is a huge thing, especially with social media today. It is the cool thing to be progressive, to be anti-racist, anti-oppression, which I can agree absolutely. I don't want anyone to be oppressed, but I feel like it's turned into a form of white hate in a way. And things like the polarization of our political climate and preponderance on the left and the alt-right. Of sort of making identity your paramount deciding factor of what you can think and who you are and what you identify with. I think it's very tribalistic, and it's a frustrating thing from someone like me who's grown up very 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 multicultural. My father owns a tattoo shop, and so I've seen all sorts of characters, all, majority great, some bad that give a good lesson of people. We're really not a discriminatory, what was I trying to say? I've just grown up exposed to everything through media, music, fashion, culture, food, custom. I really don't know how to stress it, and those that know me. Recently was my 18th birthday, and I've never really sort of had friends over to meet my parents or really given someone an in-depth on my life and growing up. And well, basically the running joke during I had two friends and hung out with them and took them to my hometown and just kind of gave them a synopsis of Heath, The running joke when I wasn't there, they'd say, okay. Where are the cameras? There's no way this is real, you know. He knows too many people, too many types, to, you know, they were just absolutely amazed because at face value, that's not usually the judgment that's made. And realistically, I don't know that there should be any judgment made based off of simply me being white. So I think it's important that teachers are incredibly, to tie this back in with, you know, social justice. I feel like that the such a strong push for equality has been maybe hijacked and warped in a way that's not equal. I think it's so important for students to be able to exist and not feel a guilt, you know, because we're not our parents. We're ourselves, and ultimately we're our own actions, and I would like to be judged by my actions. So teachers shouldn't be discriminatory. Obviously, Miss Ambrosetti talks about this a lot in a way that I've never heard another person, especially in the education system. And my theory is this, you know, just her amount of experience and exposure to educating students. Really, there should be no judgment, no basis, no special treatment, just off of the skin color. Even social economic status can sometimes be a faulty determiner of that, because the family culture differs too, based off of a lot of things. And an interesting thing is, usually rich families have a rather reckless design that is only fueled by their affluence, the amount of money they have. So it's a complicated thing. The implication of race, I don't think we know what the solution is. I don't think we necessarily know what the problem is. The problem was during, you know, Jim Crow times and stuff like that, much more black and white, but now it's much more nuanced and starting to sway in a way that's quite tribal and hateful. And the solution, let's see, a final solution to sort of wrap this up. Individual education, unbiased teachers, and a proper understanding of American history and the idea of the individual. I think that's probably the biggest one. I shouldn't be looked at as a white, excuse me, as a white male. I should just be looked at as Heath. And I think that's a complicated thing that we're working towards.